Joshua. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find around page 259. If you'd stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God, found in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. If you enjoyed that singing tonight, somebody say amen. Amen. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. As I said earlier today, a lot of folks is more worried about the roof over their children's head than what's under their feet being the foundation. I appreciate some mom and daddies that bring their young'uns to church on a Sunday night. Now our heart is touched that we're entrusted with this responsibility in these days. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1. If you're there, say amen tonight. The Bible said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And he says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, to the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time together, Lord, around the Word of God today. Thank You that we have a Bible that's still real, a Bible that's impactful, a Bible that's still right. Lord, we thank You that You are our God that has wrote this Word. And I pray now that You'd give us grace to preach it. God, You'd give us power to teach it. Help us tonight. I'm a needy preacher, and I sure do need You. I pray You'd give us traveling safety this week. God, You'd touch the ministry here, and You'd touch the ministry there. And we'll be grateful to You for everything You've done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tonight, the Bible said that in verse number 1, now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. And I want to preach tonight on I'm glad that God is still a-talking. I'm glad God still got something to say. If you want to know what God's got to say about something, then you don't have to look up what the commentators have to say. Just grab you a copy of this King James Bible And you'll find out what thus saith the Word of God. Now, there are three things tonight that God is saying in this chapter. And I'm glad that He encouraged His servant Joshua. And did you notice in verse number 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, how impactful Moses was. Moses was a small child and was put in an ark, laid in the brinks by the riverside. There, the household of Pharaoh got Moses out. That's just like our good God. Go and find the mother of Moses and pay her to hire what was her own right to do. Only God could work in the back scenes and the backdrops of life like our God could do. It's amazing what God done with a little child called Moses that was willing to suffer with the reproaches of the people of God than enjoy the riches of Egypt for a season. Can I tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that this world's never seen yet what God can do with somebody that's willing to be God's. I'm glad we've got a God tonight that's interested in the throwaway things of life. Boy, I'm glad God is interested in things that nobody's interested in tonight. The Bible said now Moses had died. Can you imagine the impact that Moses had? I want to ask you something. As we live in this world, it's very important. But it's more important how we leave this world. I'm glad I'm leaving saved. Thank God I'm saved. I'm glad I'm leaving sanctified. Man, I've been set apart for the office of God. I'm glad I'm leaving satisfied. Honey, I've tried a lot of things in this world, but there's nothing like Jesus. Young people, I'm glad there's still a crowd that want to sing about Jesus. The name above all names tonight, that the honky-tonks and the bars of this world know nothing about. But I'm glad there is a name above all names, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And therefore, we see that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had died. Can you imagine the impact of the life of Moses? But not only was his life so impactful, the Bible teaches his death was real impactful. For the Bible tells us that the children of Israel wept for 30 days. Now, I'm not sure what happened. But could I use your imagination just a minute? If a man had led you across waters that nobody else had ever led you across, if this man had told you that God was going to rain quail out of heaven and you walked out of your tent one day and you seen the quails of heaven, if he had told you that he was going to fill the ground full of angels' food, and he did, and if a man had took you and there God had give you water out of a rock, I guarantee you he would have impacted your life. And can I tell you this? Every preacher ought to impact your life. No, we don't worship preachers, but we do thank God for the office that the preacher fills. Can I tell you that it's still a few men interested in something besides chicken and women tonight? Somebody say amen. Now I'm going to tell you, honey, thank God for the men of God that's took me places that nobody else has ever took me. Now can you imagine in that camp, some 3 to 5 million, Moses died and they wept 30 days. God said, well, you've had about enough crying now. I'm going to raise somebody up to take you to places that you've never been. And his name is Joshua. And young men, I'm going to tell you why God chose him. Because he was the servant to Moses. And you'll always watch this. You will never lead people to first that you've proven that you can be led. A lot of people
they're wanting to lead, but they've never been led. And I'm going to tell you tonight, God looked in the heart of Joshua. One that ministered to the man of God, that was a blessing to the man of God. And God chose him to take the children into the promised land. Now they wept some 30 days over the body of Moses. And I'm going to tell you, men of God and the people of God ought to impact our lives. I'm glad there are some men of God here tonight. I'm glad there are some ladies of God tonight that have impacted my life. And young people, you ought to be glad that you're in a church, that you have some people of God that can impact your life. Saints of God, we take a lot of things for granted here. But you ought to thank God that He's thought enough of you to put you in a place to let people impact you in the old ways of God. I'm not for this new type of thing that's going around this country. Honey, this King James Bible has proven Himself. Those songs of Zion, they still singing them in heaven tonight. And what's good enough for heaven's good enough for me. And I bless, hallelujah, well, glory, hallelujah, I bless the good name of our God that He's thought enough of us to put some Moseses in our life, hallelujah. Boy, Moses, the servant of the Lord, he had died. Boy, how it affected that congregation. They had wept for 30 days, and I really don't know what God did, but they couldn't find his body. God hid it. Moses said, as he brought the bones of Joseph up toward the promised land, he said, God will take mine. And did you know that there was a war that broke out from hell to heaven over the body of Moses? I wonder, when me and you would leave this world, would it impact anything like that? I remember one of my old heroes of faith. Boy, he was the Elijah of the day. Brother Monroe Wiggins, you could have mentioned his name, and everybody in this area had heard. First time I seen him, he scared me to death, young people. I mean, but it was something about him that was spooky. Amen. Spooky. We need some more spooky preachers. I'm talking about them that look out over you under the banisters and you get to knowing that they're looking into another world. Boy, what a hero. And the day he died, bowed and carried on just like it always. But I tell you what, the streets of Bowden ought to rolled up and they ought to wept and they ought to shout and said, thank God that you let old men of God walk through this country. Let you like Him walk through this country. Hallelujah. So heaven's got it all recorded. I don't know, maybe you know how Baptist people do. They probably wanted to make a shrine or something. Peter did. The Lord manifested Himself and Peter wanted to get in the building program. He said, well, Lord, let's build something. He said, you need to be quiet a while. He said, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. He said, you ain't going to build no tabernacle to you and Moses and Elijah. He said, if anything going to be built, it's going to be all about my son. And we find ourselves in the Bible, in the book of Jude, something happened here about Moses' body. Now, the Lord, I guess, said, now, I'm afraid y'all make a shrine out of him and parade him around town. Said, y'all have wept long enough, so God just said, well, I'm going to do away with him. Well, preacher, where did he put it? He hid him. And he's in safe keepings. Turn over in the book of Jude. You say, well, now, preacher, if I'll just give the devil a black eye. No, he'll claw your stinking brains out. We ain't no match for the devil. But I'll remind you about something before I get on the end of the sermon. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God I got somebody in me greater than the devil tonight. Now, God has all power over the devil. Look in Jude verse number 9. Bible says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He durst not bring against him a railer in accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now Michael the archangel, he's the strongest God's guy. Honey, let me tell you, if Michael the archangel can't defeat him, and I'll guarantee you me and you are no match for him. So we better mind our own business and quit going out looking where he camps out at. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. I'm glad we got a God that can see about us. So here Moses, the servant of the Lord, had died, and Joshua comes on the scene. He says, I want you in verse 2 of Joshua 1, I want you to rise and go over this Jordan. Now, there's three things that God said, that God talked about that encouraged Joshua. And they ought to encourage us tonight. In verses number 2 and 3, you'll notice the promises that he spoke. Now, Moses, my servant's dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, Joshua was encouraged by God's promises. First of all, you'll note verse number 2, he had promises about the land. He said, I do give unto them. I'm glad we got a God still in the giving business. Somebody said, well, if you serve the Lord, you'll never have nothing. You couldn't tell that to the psalmist David. And you can't tell that to me. There's nothing wrong with having things. Just don't let things have us tonight. Now, you'll notice the promises that encouraged him. He had a promise about the land. He said, I'm going to give you something. Ain't that just like our God? When He killed us, when He ought to killed us, He blessed us instead. So He had promises about the land. Then in verse 3, He had promises that He would lead him. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, I'm glad God has already given some things, but we've got to walk by faith to get it. I'll guarantee you'll find this tonight, Christian, that faith is never convenient. You'll notice in the Father of our faith, and you won't have to turn there because I'll be brief, but in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible said simply that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. But by faith, he sojourned. He didn't drive any tent stakes down too deep. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and the maker is God. And I'm glad he was, like the old writer said, he was looking for something that didn't have stamped made in China was on it, or made in the USA wasn't on it. Honey, he was looking for a city that was built by God. Now notice, he moved by faith that he should after receive. You're not going to get what God's got you till you access faith. And so it was with Joshua. So it was with all of his children. And so it is with you. And so it is with me. There's things that only faith can access. Thank God there's been some people in my life that knew how to access faith to teach me. Faith is a great vehicle, and faith will take you great places that nothing else will take you to.
And so therefore, he spoke to Joshua that he had to go by faith, but he would always lead him. Isn't it wonderful to have a promise from God that not only he would always lead us, but he would always be near unto us. And boy, that ought to encourage us walking through this world, the promises that encouraged him. Not only did he speak about a promise, but look in verse 5 through 7. He spoke about some protection as he went through this. I'm glad there's a God that's looking about me and you. Matter of fact, when we get to heaven, we'll praise in the first million years for doing what we never knew nothing about. You'll be surprised what God's done for you when you wasn't looking. You'll be surprised. I remember one night, I got a preacher friend. He broke down in Carrollton. And there were some men stopped to harm him. They had been chasing him. They was upset with his preaching. And so he pulled over to stop and he broke down sort of. So the men got ready to get out, and it got back to him that they seen three or four more standing there around the truck with him. You say, well, Brother Ken, you've been eating too many hamburgers and onions. No, I tell you what the Bible says. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear God. You'll be surprised what God's done for you behind your back that you never know nothing about it. He loves his children. And so he's giving him that not only a promise, but he said, I want you to know you'll have my protection. He said in verse 5 and 6, you'll have protection in fighting. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'm glad it still works tonight. I'm glad we got a God. When Moses died, he didn't pack up his tent and go to heaven. You say, where is he at? He's walking around in me. And he's walking around in you. If you say, we're a habitation of God. And therefore, he's promised to them a protection. He says, I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Isn't it amazing you got a God walking around with you? I love him and praise him for his protection. And then, not only is protection in fighting, and I want to say something. In verse number 6, look what he said. He said, be strong and of good courage. For this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear to the fathers to give them. I don't know where you got the Christians not supposed to stand their ground. Just because we're a Christian don't mean we have to be a wimp. We can have spine about us, some backbone. We don't have to be brawlers, but honey, let me tell you, it's time God's people draw a line and say, I'm not moving off that Bible. I ain't moving off the Bible. Not moving off what God said. I'm going to tell you, there's some things we're fighting about. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that God told him he'd have his protection. I'd rather have God on my side than the whole army. I can take you all through this Bible to show you, well, there's armies tucked tail and run. God sent hornets and drove thousands out of the land. God's a big God. You say, well, he ain't on my side. Oh, honey, if you're one of his children, he's on your side. Therefore, he said, I want you to know, not only these promises ought to encourage you, this protection ought to encourage you. And he said, I'm going to protect you in your fighting. And then verse 7, he said, I'm going to protect you from failing. He said, I want you only to be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from the right or from the left. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, where I want to get to just a minute and close this sermon tonight. But some things God's saying. He talked with us about His promises and He talked with us about His protection. But lastly, look in verse 8 and 9. He taught with us about His precepts. His precepts. The Word of God. Let me tell you, the Bible might not mean a lot to everybody in America tonight, but it means something to God. He said, he talked about the description, this book. Not Ophrah's, not Dr. Phil's, not Smiley Joel Osteen's. This book. And he said, the description, he said, I want you to be sure which one. This book. This is... Take your book up, hold it up, and shake it tonight. Fold it up, hold it up, and shake, wave it. That's the book of all books. Look around the bed. That's the book of all books. There ain't no book like this book tonight. No book like this book. You see, this book, it is a guide. Teaches me how to do. This book is a goad. It prides me when I do wrong. This book's a guarantee. It's a shoe-in. It's fixed. It's settled. It's the Word of God. Now, the precepts. He said, I want you to take this book of the law. Then not only did he talk about the description, this book, but he talked about dependence in verse 8. He didn't say nothing about taking food. He didn't say nothing about it. He said, you better be sure you got this book with you. Now you listen to me, families tonight, raising children. I know there are a lot of things in this life that we all need and we have to have. But I'm going to tell you what we've got. We've got to have this book. Because not only the description, but there's dependence. Look what he said. He said, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night. Not only dependence, but look at digestion in verse 8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What are you talking about? If we had digested, it'd be on our breath. Y'all ever met somebody in the foyer and you say, whew, honey, you need to do something to that grill bad. You ever met somebody and say, whew, where'd you eat? Oh, Olive Garden. Oh, Olive Garden. Garlic just reeking off of them. Well, I wonder what happened, Brother Jake, if we digested the Word of God, what be on our breath? Well, he said, let this Word of God digest it. Meditate in it. Let it be upon your mouth. Digest it. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. Boy, if we stayed in this, we wouldn't have to have mouthwash. Somebody save me. I looked at Parker today. I got a cell phone, got a flashlight on it. Was a playing doctor, you know, and he got all over Pop and had me all tore up. I said, now lay down, boy, and I cut that light on and opened up that mouth. I shined that mouth. I said, ooh. His eyes got big. I said, I see a dirty word. I said, turn them little ears over. Let me look in them ears. I said, ooh, I see dirty words. He said, pop. I'm afraid they wouldn't see no dirty words in our mouth if we digested this book. Boy, if we just ate out of this book. And look what he says when I close. This is amazing concept about the precept that God gave him. He said, this is what you do, boy. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. Now watch this. He said, hearing ain't enough. But thou mayest observe to do. And look, not to that part of it that you love. And there's some things in the Bible I love. But some things in there I just don't like a lot. Oh, I know you do. Okay. Love your enemies, as you said. He that stole your coat, give him your Levi's too. He that you done went a mile with and took advantage of him, go the second one with him. Oh, I know y'all like that. Now, you ain't fooling me. I see what you drive. Redneck looking something. But I'm telling you tonight, there's the description, there's the dependent, there's the digestion, and there's the do in verse number 8, Brother Adam. He said, do according to all that's written. All of it. Do it all. You will never go wrong doing right. Listen to me, Mom and Daddies. Do it all. I wonder if we spend as much time in this book as we did on the TV or in our computer, what would be coming out of our mouth? It'd change us. Then lastly, the declaration. He said, look, verse 8. He said, if you observe to do according to all that's written therein. I'm going to tell you, that's what I found out about God, y'all. It takes a little time. Because you've got to prove yourself. Oh, He knows everything, but you've got to prove yourself. Listen, God may not pay off on Friday. You remember this. But God always pay off. And it always be on time. Now watch this. He said, do all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to know how to have a successful life? There it is. You want to know how to have a successful church? There it is. You want to know how to have a successful marriage? Right there it is. It's nothing this right here can't fix. Me and Brother Mike went to a place, I think Saturday, is an old antique store. There was a Bible. And I bet you it was this tall. And it was on the desk. And Brother Tim, I walked over and I opened up pages of it. It had something, the family, 18-something. I turned around to Brother Mike. I said, Brother Mike, how does a Bible ever get out of a family like this? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and this is what He said. This may be all He wants you to hear out of my whole sermon tonight. I said, Brother Mike, how does a family let a Bible get out of their family like this? And God whispered to me, said, because they got out of the Bible. This Bible ought to mean something to us. I've got some heroes assigned mine. Some in heaven. Sure glad I got them assigned. You say, oh, preacher, you're an idol. Well, you just keep that to yourself. Leave me alone. Sometime I want to open up my Bible and look at my heroes of faith. Yep, I remember that message he preached. Brother Willerton, I wish I could have had him here to let y'all heard him. You know what he preached in? He preached in poetry. He'd stand up and take a text. And y'all, it's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen or I've ever heard yet in the whole. This man would start quoting poems. Everybody in there would pull your glass off and watch. And I said, I can't believe he's saying all that. I mean, heaven would just feed him in poetry. It's amazing. Brother Edgar Thomas. My, what a warrior. Oh, all of those that's went on before us. But I want to ask you something. How'd that Bible get out of their family? Why didn't that Bible mean something to some of them young'uns? Now antique stores selling their folks' Bible. And I ain't a kidding y'all, somebody had used it, is that tall. How'd that get out of the family? family must have got out of it. Appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us. Appreciate the time together today.